What's up, y'all?
What's going on?
We in the building virtually.
It's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday, y'all. So welcome to another episode of SW Podcast. It is what, the 28th of September? This is the last week.
Man, this is the last week. Two more days, Thursday and Friday. The first is the Saturday.
It's the last
week. Wow, man, this month. This month that went by this year. We're going into the third quarter, the fourth quarter
of the year.
So we're leaving out the third, going into the fourth. Look here, parents. Christmas is coming.
And while we're talking about the last quarter, let's go ahead and send up some strength, energy, and power to all the people in Florida right now that's being affected by Hurricane Ian.
We
have people all over the state. Everybody has family members, friends, somebody they know all over the state.
Everyone.
So if you have not done your due diligence and reached out and checked on the people that you care about, and don't be sending like, they ain't reached out to me, they the one going through it.
Call them, text them, or Facebook them, or something. You need to do something.
Contact your people.
They might care. And then right now, depends on where the storm at. Last time I checked, it was like Naples and that little coastal area, southwestern coast. And baby is traveling. My family is there. Polk County, all like...
It's traveling. It has left the Hillsborough County area. Now it's heading up the coast. So that's like Kissimmee, like Queen said, the Polk County area. You guys just, you know, take cover.
Orlando.
Make sure that you guys are prepared. And well, you only can be prepared for whatever you can be prepared for, because you don't know what's going to happen. But for the people who are in the area, definitely be looking out.
All of that. And then it's going to curve North Carolina, Georgia. Diana, it'll die on out. But man, look, my prayers go out to y'all, because look, it was supposed to come our way. But who knows? The storm do what
it could turn. It could do what they want to do. We're not in control. We are not in control of everything. So let's just make sure that you strapped up with the things you need. And that you guys are making sure that you're looking out for your family, calling your family, because you may have to be shipping them items, which is why I was really uneasy with the people who overbuying in our area, because with this area being an area that's not going to be completely impacted, we needed to be able to have the stores and good stocking matters, so that if something happened, you know, the stores, they could ship things down to other stores, or if we need to go and grab things for our family, we can do that. And that's the purpose of having people in other cities, so that you could reach out to them. It's not all about who is impacting, it's the people who is not. Because if it's not impacting you and you got this house full of stuff, I hope you are not going to be selfish enough and send it to the people who you do care about if they need it. So
overbuying over water. It was crazy. But I went in Publix Sunday. I was surprised they had water everywhere.
Well, Publix they didn't really run out like that. They only ran low.
They had water everywhere.
And then they would pull stuff out the back every couple hours, because they're not going to put all their stuff out there and then people running through the stores. They're going to continue to stock. And that's what I do like about them. They didn't completely run out. But for the people who just, you know, just did that, a lot of selfish spending, those are normally the ones that always be trying to go and return stuff. I don't need this. I don't need that.
I use it. Keep it.
Keep it, because we're still in hurricane season. All the way through November. So, welcome to SW Podcast, y'all. For the people who are not affected by the storm, we hope to have y'all tune in today, especially in other areas, because anybody else, we expect them to be doing with their due diligence with their families, tuning in with them, taking care of them. But for you, the viewers and listeners in our areas and other areas across the world, thank y'all for tuning in today. We got a good show for y'all today. And the content is, I don't want anybody to feel slighted or as if this show is directly toward you, because sometimes our guilt has us feel like, dang, she's talking to me. I don't know your business. So I'm definitely not talking to you. But if this can help you, that's what the show is for. Like, if you are one of the people who are affected by the savior complex, we definitely want to talk to, you know, direct some of the content towards you so that you can allow it to help, you know, straighten up some of the things you got going on. But the savior complex is normally like that cat them, save them energy. And girl, I know I'm tired of everything.
Be taking on nobody stuff. Trying to be Captain Saver. You don't want to be taking on people's stuff. Nope.
I remember one of my daughters told me, she was like, I don't want you to be the savior this time, mama. And and, you know, at first I was like,
let them be, ma. Let them be.
What she was talking about for her. And the thing that it kind of bothered me, because I was like, dang, my kid don't want me to, you know. But then I thought about it. I was like, it's literally based on the fact that she want to figure this out herself. You know what I'm saying? Versus me being
person. That's mature.
It's a mature thing to do. And I appreciated that. So, but we're going to jump into the quote. The quote is, you won't become a saint through other people's sins.
You won't become a saint through other people's sins.
So this is the perfect
sin is for sin, no matter what sin. It's all sin. It don't matter. It's not one greater than the other.
It's a perfect quote for the actual savior complex theory, because a lot of people feel like when they do something, they can check it off and say, you know, I did this, so therefore I don't have to worry about this. When I'm doing wrong over here on my side, I'm doing right over here to save the people, save this person. So forget the wrong I'm doing, because I'm doing just as much right. So that quote rings true, because let me say, I used to always feel, and I think a lot of people did, that if I do more right than I do wrong, then God gonna bless me anyway. You think God gonna forget about? But do you think God gonna, do you think the Most High is gonna forget about what you did?
No.
I mean, yes, good things that you're doing can counteract some of the things that you're doing bad, but does it take away your bad? Especially if it's something that you continue to do. So, I mean, you won't become a saint through other people's sins is a very, I like that. I really do.
I like
Hey, Kels.
Hey, Kels.
How you doing today, buddy?
I like that too.
And
you really won't.
You can't. You gotta go through your things. You gotta realize that. Yes, you can go around and do good, but you should not expect good to come to you because you do good.
You do good.
Your good is supposed to be because you're a good person. I want to do good because of the nature of who I am.
It should come from your heart. It should really come from your heart if you're really doing it. Well, some people do stuff for show. Some people do stuff from their heart.
And that's why we're having this conversation today. Because there's so many people that's right here doing things for show, getting accolades for it, but don't even go into communities they serve. Like, you'll go out and say, I bought this for this community, or I'm doing this for this community, but not actually going to the
not
community.
Actually going and doing it.
Yeah. So we do have to get, we have this, I don't know, when I posted this today, I was like, this is going to be a good quote
for the
conversation, for the topic. It matches perfectly with what we're discussing. because you got the always trying to save people theory, but you also doing it for what can be, what can come to you. And to me, that's not from the heart. But if you're a person who doing things from the heart and not expecting anything in return, that's not a savior complex. But the complex comes from, oh, I gotta videotape what I'm doing. I gotta let somebody else know what's going on. I have to sacrifice so much of me just to give to them. That's not a, that could be turning into you needing to be saved then.
Yeah, like that's crazy. But it is true.
It's so many people like that. And we're gonna talk about that today. I'm telling y'all, we're gonna get, we're not gonna like drag conversation, but we're gonna it's so many different plots to the savior complex that people don't even realize. Because once I was doing my research on this and understand, I was like, God damn. I almost fell into this before. Mm-hmm. And not the portion of doing it for a show, the portion of like I'm draining myself.
Yeah.
Trying to help somebody else.
Trying to help somebody else. Yeah. I think a lot of us have been through that.
So it's not something that, and you don't even see that as what it is. You just see what you're trying to do and how you're trying to penetrate to help the situation. So let's jump into
this. Was a lady having a conversation about that.
Go ahead, Quinn.
And was having a conversation with this group that I'm a part of on Patreon. And that's what she was telling the guy. And she was like, you a person that love people. You like people. But is it your ego that got you doing what you're doing? Even though you love these people, is it your ego? What do you get out of it? Is you doing it from the heart? And she was just sitting up there. She had to diagnose. She said, it's a little bit of both for you. You're doing it from the heart. It's a little bit of your ego, and you're trying to save everybody, and you can't.
And you putting a lot on yourself doing that.
Putting a lot on yourself doing that. So some of it is your, some is the ego.
Mm-hmm.
It is the ego. Girl, so, you know what I did for her?
And don't do that. Don't come to me talking about what you did.
Okay, that's what you did. Appreciate it.
So it's understandable to want to help a loved one in a bind, but what if they didn't want the help? Would you accept their refusal, or would you insist on helping, believing you know exactly how to handle their problems for them? The savior complex or the white knight syndrome describes this. I keep saying that. Like I just said a few minutes ago, I know I'm tired, but why am I yawning at 5-6 something in the evening this early? I don't need to be trying to get, I can't go to bed this early.
Too early. My mama said she's in bed. I was like, Mom, what is this 7 something? You in the bed?
It's too early. I can't.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not ready to go to bed yet. So what does it look like to be that person? In general, people consider helpfulness a positive trait, so you might not see anything wrong with trying to save others, but there's a difference between helping and saving. The savior tendencies can involve fantasies of fantasies. In other words, you believe someone out there is capable of single-handedly making everything better than that person is supposed to do for themselves. That's a problem.
What? That's crazy.
That's a problem. Good evening, Jay.
Hey, Jada.
That is a problem. Anytime you feel like you can live somebody else's life better than them, that's a part of the savior complex.
Yeah, that's crazy. Child, you don't want to be trying to live nobody else day to day because you don't know what the hell they got going on.
You don't know what they had to walk through to get there. You don't know what they had to talk through.
You don't know none of it. You don't know if they getting their head bashed in at night when they get there. You don't know.
But you want to feel like you can put their shoes on and walk their life better than them. Mm-hmm. And that's a part of the savior complex because you're trying to change people. You might think you know what's best for those you're trying to help. For example, you may know, you just know that they can improve their life by taking up a new hobby, changing their career, or changing a specific behavior. And you tell them this, they don't hear you. I mean, they hear you, but they don't follow it.
But they don't.
Now you now you feel like, oh, your advice is the best advice and they need to take heed to it. Do what you say, and if they don't, then they're gonna fail.
Boy, look, I think I know somebody like that.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
But we have that because we always feel like we're supposed to be doing things to make other people's lives better. And you can't make, you don't, without knowing a person's backhand story or the things that they've been, you cannot be the person who gives them direct and specific directions for their life and think that they're supposed to follow it. You tell them to go, okay, go take $100 and go put it in your savings account and watch it, or in a CD account and watch it grow. Next thing you know, they locked up because they went and tried to rob somebody for them $100. You don't know people's backstory. You got to get the details before you start just trying to tell people how to live their life and what to do with their life and how to handle themselves accordingly. You don't know. You don't always know. Exactly.
And they ain't going to always tell you the full story either.
And a lot of it might be lies. If you're the type of person that always needs to find a solution with somebody else's problems, not every problem has an immediate solution, especially big issues like illness, trauma, grief. So telling somebody to take up a new hobby in the middle of their mother, father, daughter, sister, husband dying, you think that's advice?
Well, you need to go do such and such. Well,
Okay,
you need to go do this. Maybe you need to go out and go paint. This what worked for me. This what worked for me. You're going to have to find out what worked for you.
But I'm not trying to give nobody no advice in no grieving process. Because I can't tell you grieve.
Everybody grieve different.
I don't know. I just be thinking that, like, when I hear certain things, even when I hear people describe certain things, I'm like, okay, you can hear the trauma in the situation. But they're not taking the opportunity to even recognize their own trauma right now. So don't you point it out. Everything is not for you to try to solve.
Why you want to solve it anyway, though?
If you have if you have the mentality to think that you're the only one that can help somebody, that's a part of the savior complex. It's a million people in this world that probably done what you did. And
yeah,
you feel like your advice is the only advice that's going to fix it.
And we all people, probably done that at some point in our life to somebody. I can recall doing that to somebody. And that's when I realized, you know what? These people don't want nothing. They want to live their same lives like they always want to live. So I ain't even going to deal with them. That means
and that ain't even the response. That ain't even the response to even have for that, though. Because just because it's not something that they want to do because of what we said, we don't know the full situation. Like it's some people who will come and talk to you about stuff, and sometimes you can kind of hear the untruths in the details. You can hear the untruth, but you sitting there still trying to put their story together. That's not your job.
And you get frustrated.
You ready to argue?
You trying to say, "Well, they just said." And you try to put the story together. The story ain't coming together because you already smell the lie, but you want to believe it
so bad, so bad. And a lot of the savior complex comes from you helping for the wrong reasons. Dog.
Dog. You got to come from the heart.
If you're not doing this because you feel that this is something that you want to do from here, you're doing it for the wrong reasons.
All the wrong reasons. You got to do stuff from the heart.
And the heart don't mean, I'm going to help them out today because I know on Friday I got a bill to pay. And if I help them out today, God going to bless me by Friday.
God, please. He already know you don't want to do it anyway. And the fact that
you open your eyes on Friday, that's your blessing enough. It ain't nothing. Every blessing ain't financial. And if you're looking for some type of saving, why you saving? You wrong. Mm-mm. The savior complex is a theory of uncompromising. I can't get my words together. Uncompromising things that are not willing to compromise. And that's normally what it is when you're dealing with people who are playing the victim and they want to get and they want to be saved. You're hearing a whole lot of uncompromising situations, and then you give them a little bit of advice, but they got, oh, I can't do this for everything that you say. They don't want that help.
They don't want that help.
That's not what they're looking for. And at that moment, you know that that's your cue to leave. That I can't help you.
Because they're going to keep having an excuse.
And for every solution I have, you got another excuse.
Yep.
How we going to live like that? Okay.
Several people like that.
Okay, so thank you for game. Now, we're going to talk about the victim complex inside the savior complex. People with the savior complex often believe they are somehow better than others because they help people all the time, leading to feelings of being morally superior. In addition, the savior complex can induce feelings of uncompromising situations, making people who experience it prone to believing no one else can save others that the way that they can, what we already said, as far as the victim complex. And the savior complex also can hinder the growth of the individual who's being aided, and constant attempts to fix their lives can lead to codependency. They need to learn to take responsibility. They neither learn to take responsibility for their own actions nor develop independent internal motivation, because you have stepped in and become their savior. So now they're the victim. They're codependent. They are. And this is also leads back to my first key point, why people pleasing is a common human instinct. People pleasing has always been something that people have done. From we do it all the time. As kids, we're trying, mommy, you saw me do this, mommy. You like that, mommy. We did that, mommy. As you get older, you like my shoes? My shoes fresh, ain't it? My shoes this, my shoes that. You like my hair? Can you do my hair like that? I like your hair too. I want to look like that. All these different things are signs of people pleasing because you're used to doing things to please other people. However, once you become a victim, people pleasing is your key source, because now all you've done is went from, I know if I tell them this, they'll do this.
They'll do this.
What's happening? Oh, got the energy to live like that.
They do though, Queen.
But every single day, millions and millions of people are like that. You got people right now that have the savior complex, even with the government. So it doesn't just ominously disappear. People really know that this is who gonna come in and do this every month. I know every month on the 13th, I'm gonna get my food stamps. So we gonna have them first 3 weeks of groceries. Then that last week, I might have to buy a couple things, but by the end of that week, them food stamps gonna be on that card. If they are not on that car, how y'all gonna survive?
They're gonna be calling them people, cussing them out.
It's everybody else's fault. That's the victim mentality. But at some point, they never said government assistance had to last forever. So it's just certain ways that we become victims and denial to victimology in our lives on a regular basis, because we're not paying attention to the things that we could be doing better for ourselves because we so used to doing.
Got our hand out.
So
want somebody to carry you
at all times. So when the victim mentality definitely falls up under the savior complex for those particular reasons. If you know that you are willing to, if a person is not willing to give you the same as you've given them. Mm-hmm. And you are, and you looking for that, you're not doing it for the right reasons. If a person, so again, that's we rewinded going over.
That's how your feelings be hurt.
With expectations. You don't go into mm-hmm. doing something for somebody with expectations. I tell my children all the time, because I live by this by this method myself. I don't have an expectation for a soul in this life. Not even for my children.
People disappoint you.
While my kids in high school, what my oldest daughter, while she was in high school, whatever she wanted to do with her life was her choice. I never said you have to go to college. I never said you have to do this. I never said you have to do that. I can give you directions. I can say these are things that you can do. These are things you might want to get involved in. If you have interest in these things, you should take those up because it might build your interest and make it stronger. But I'll never tell you
this is
what you have to do.
Yeah.
Because when you start living by other people's expectations, you will fail. You are not even building things for yourself, trying to give people trying to please other people. That's a people pleaser. How can I get up daily to go into a job every single day with the notion of I'm only going to do this job because I'm trying to make my supervisor happy?
Jabo.
I ain't even on that.
So we got to make them happy for what? That's crazy, but it's true.
It's true, Queen.
People do it.
So
people want to please people.
Mm-hmm. And then the other thing about having the savior complex, and when we said earlier, you're creating a codependent person. That's mm-hmm. toxic. You're creating a toxic codependence. And people ask, what is that? What is toxic codependence? It's simply when you have made people feel like the only person that can save them is you.
John, that's a huge responsibility.
Who wants that type of responsibility?
That means you got about 10 people because you think you're Captain Saver. So you got all these people up there you trying to so-called save. And none of them don't want to be saved.
None of them.
None of them. You might have one. Yeah, they might. You might have one that might get it, but still, nah. Take them a minute.
And a lot of people save yourself. A lot of people, the tendency of codependence develops in childhood. So as a child, you go through a period of dependence when you can't take care of yourself and rely entirely on your parents to fulfill your needs. So if you grew up in a healthy family where you felt loved and cared for unconditionally and could freely express your feelings, speak your mind, and be heard, this dependence is secure. As you grow up, you can separate from your parents and become an autonomous, independent individual. However, in an unhealthy family situation, things take a very different direction. Importantly, a dysfunctional family doesn't necessarily need to involve alcoholism or any type of addiction. Parental narcissism and neglect can do just as much damage. And so parent situations where the child is forced to serve as a buffer between the fighting parents. So that starts codependency. The common trend in all these circumstances is that the child is manipulated with the feelings of guilt, shame, and fear into becoming a tool of fulfilling his parents' needs and wishes. His own feelings are invalidated and they grow up feeling rejected, shut down, and learn to cope with anxieties on their own. That's how codependence is formed.
Wow. Well, a lot of stuff that we go through stem from childhood.
From childhood. And then, you know, you fail to recognize your own limitations because this is the only way you can feel needed and whole is when people need you to do stuff. So he started as a child knowing that if he became a buffer between his parents arguing, that would keep the noise down. That would make the people in the house happy.
Yeah.
Sacrificing oneself to do something for other people. That's the nature of how codependence toxicity begins. And that's a child. And a child is having to be the one that's going through that.
And that's a lot of children going through that, especially when it comes down to co-parenting.
Yes.
And stuff, and how both male and female is, oh my God, the stuff that some people say about their kids, father, their kids, mother, around the kid, I'd be like, you know what? Come on, people. Don't be dumb, especially the women, how they back, I mean, they just, I'm like, You laid with him, not just once. That's what I'm talking about. Not just once. I told my daddy that one time. God rest his soul. Like, I told him that too. Like, what? You laid with him? You got three.
You lay with it three times intentionally.
So shut up. He'll tell you. I like literally like, no, you not finna sit up here and you ain't finna. No, I ain't finna let you talk about her, bro.
Well, we don't.
I don't even know about that.
And that's the thing, though. Like, you know, sitting there allowing it is then in turn giving that person the power, because what that does a lot is bring separation in your own household, because sometimes your person might not even want to tell you that you wrong for bringing them up, and they just start having negative vibes towards you because of that. So you got to be very, very careful of how you bring another person into a conversation or bringing in toxic conversation around people who don't deal with that. You got to be very, very careful with that. And then
you really do.
And then if you sit in and you get involved in it, now you drain into that energy as well. And now y'all both giving energy to a power source that ain't, that's invisible in y'all house.
Like, hush, don't be talking about it because you don't want nobody saying nothing about me. So be quiet.
Right.
That's what it is.
That's quiet. It. How does helping someone?
You got them children.
Exactly. And they're yours. Mm-hmm. Oh. And you laid there. That's all.
That's it. Period.
How does helping someone or the lack of affect you, Queen? What do you think about that? Like, how does, when you help some, if you're helping someone, not, you know, because when you do it, we know it's coming from your heart. So when you're doing someone, helping someone, or the lack of, or choose not to help someone, how does you feel about that? How does it make you feel? Does it make you feel like you're in the midst of a savior complex, or you just doing something because of, you know, that this is for you to do?
I didn't been in the savior complex before. I can't admit that. I have been in the savior complex. But really, anything that I do, I do it from my heart. I just do it from my heart. But I have been in that savior complex, and I had to realize, Candace, and I still tell myself that to this day, Candace, everybody is not you, so you let them people be. Candace, stop yourself. This is not your problem. You got your own. You don't let them people be, and I tell myself that, because you do, and especially when it's people close to you, you do want to be like friend, cuz, sis, bruh, mom, dad, you know, aunt, you do, but you got to just, you really have to be mindful of stuff that you got going on and piling somebody else stuff. And then when they're going to say the same thing on top of what you already got going on. I had one of my cousins on my dad's side. She was going through something with her her mom and her sisters. And I was just trying to, you know, give her good advice. She literally got mad. That girl stopped talking to me, took me off her Facebook, everything. And I was just like, you know what? Yes. We good. I won't try to help nobody. Don't. Now, you ask me for my advice, I'm going to give you my opinion. You roll with it, do what you want to do. But this is what I did. Hey, I don't care. You might do something different. I can't tell you what to do. Make your own decision.
Well, like I've definitely experienced that, and it is hard.
Because
that's somebody you care about. Mm-hmm. I've experienced that. I had a really good friend that was, we were very close. We had stopped talking for a while. There was some apologies and everything, and you know, we started communicating again at some point, but it was more so checking on you type of communication. Mm-hmm. And then she started going through a divorce, and pretty much around the same time I was going through a divorce, and but she just went ghost. And like I would send her messages and check in on her, and I could, because mm-hmm. iPhones, you can tell when somebody read it, especially if their message is on read. So I was like, you know, maybe she's just really going through it. My messages would be just, you know, affirmations and things to keep her on the positive side, but she would never respond. But I never once did I think to myself, Shelby, just don't send her nothing else. Mm-mm, I still did. Mm-hmm. Because I was like, she reading them. It could be helping her. She may not want to say nothing, but she's reading them.
Mm-hmm. Because I
know that that is a very, very dark space to be in. And mm-hmm. everybody doesn't handle it the same way as other people. So you have to be able to have understanding for people and the things that they're going through. I feel like eventually she'll say something at some point, but at this point, mm-hmm. I feel like everybody needs their time to sustain and remember who they are, the power that they possess, the thrills that they need to continue to have, to continue to be the parent they are, the woman they are, the leader, the provider. Everything that you have to walk around and be in your space, you got to get through certain things. So without her wanting to be a part of the savior complex and being a victim, she mm-hmm. just backed up. I respect that way more than a person who's struggling and going through it and they put on this face like everything okay, but
deep down it's not.
It's eating them up so much. I respect somebody going into a hole more than it is when you trying to be straight up every single day and you ain't going home and letting it out. Because I could sit up and I could be fully. I was telling my daughter that I was like, it don't matter what I'm going through, I'm going to get up and I'm going to put on some clothes and I'm going to make myself feel good about me.
Yeah.
But when I come back into my space, into my house, into my privacy, into my shelter, my protection, I can take all that off and be me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mind that. But I'm not going to walk around with that. Right. I'm not going to walk around with this face on all the time. I can't do that. That's not real.
Not at all.
But people have to go through things how they go through them, Queen. So even if at some point she may come back around.
Yeah.
And have to apologize and let you know what it is that it was these things that were going on with me at this time. This is happening. This is happening. And you're going to have that heart to be able, you know what? I understand. We might not ever be how we were, but I understand.
But I get it. I get it.
You know what I'm saying?
And it's simple. It's just that simple, though.
Yeah.
Not for everybody.
No.
Not for
it
everybody.
Never is for everybody. Mm-hmm. It never everybody. Is. But it's worth it sometime to give it a try. It's worth it.
Mm-hmm. But I will say, I do. Now, when I don't help somebody, I do feel bad when I tell somebody no. I do feel bad. Because we natural givers.
Yeah.
We natural givers. That's why everything we do, it truly comes from our heart, because we was born as natural givers. So when I tell somebody no, it don't matter who it is, I be feeling a little bad.
Every time.
I really be feeling a little bad, like, dang.
But we have to learn how to do better with it, though, like standing firm in them no's. Because the reason is because you can't say yes to everybody and everything. Mm-hmm. Because like I said before, a lot of that stuff will drain you. And then you can't fix it for everybody either. Because a lot of times people walk into these disasters knowing that disaster is already there. But they put themselves in them. So sometimes you just got to walk away from a lot of that. Yeah. Because you'll find yourself trying to save somebody and help somebody, and then they can't help you. Not that you're looking for help, but what I'm saying is it literally means that they can't, because they can't help themselves.
Mm-hmm. They can't help you. Unless they end up, you know, growing and maturing and getting to a point that, okay, now it didn't reverse, but it takes some people a while to get there.
It does.
And some people never get there.
It does, Queen.
So, it's levels to this stuff, though.
It's levels. Well, that's our show for today, y'all. We wanted to talk about that savior stuff, because I need to make sure that a lot of us are not out here doing things because we are expecting stuff in return. I want to make sure that we know that how helping people affects us in the end. And when they don't do what you say, a lot of people start to feel that sense of failure. And then you start to take on somebody, other people's problems so strong until it starts to affect your physical. To the point where you're not eating right. You can't even sleep right. Because now you have enveloped other people's issues. And that's not where I'm ever going again.
That's not healthy.
Healthy at all.
Not healthy.
It's not healthy at all. If you're not doing things for the purpose of helping that person get to the next phase and making sure that they're not becoming a codependent person, they're not falling into the victim mentality, and all of those things don't make you look like you're falling into the savior complex, that's a good help. But if any of those other things happen in the midst of you providing help to someone, whether albeit advice, money, food, shelter, anything, and you think that something is supposed to come out of it on the other side for you, you're doing it for the wrong reasons.
All the wrong reasons.
The wrong reasons, baby. So, Queen, you got anything you want to tell to the people on our way out of here?
Do it from the heart.
From
the heart. We'll be October, baby, when we come back here.
It'll be October. October. I got so many family members whose birthdays in October, y'all. I got a baby who about to turn 18. I got a daughter who about to turn 19. A nephew who about to turn 18. A daddy who about to turn 60 something.
My mama will be 60 October 12th. My mama will be 60.
A friend who turning 40. An uncle who in his 40s, and it's just a lot. It's a lot, and I'm happy.
October that month, boy. Look, October y'all that month. You got enough, boy. The Libras in February and March.
Yes, they were. You got the Libras and the Scorpios this month, y'all. So, to anybody that is affected or know anybody affected by the storm, make sure you checking on your people. Reaching out to them, making sure they're taken care of. Sending some positive words of affirmations toward them, because you really can't do a whole lot during these times. Like, this is not the time to be the savior.
It's just
not the time, because this is when things that are out of man's power, you can't do nothing about it. So just keep them lifted. Keep them lifted. And they're talking, I was listening earlier, they're saying that people in certain areas may be without power for 3 weeks. So this is why I be knowing y'all. But y'all guessing and estimating how long people gonna be without power. Go on and get these people from these other areas so we can get them on down there out of the eye of the storm.
And they already went. Like,
they left.
They left last night. Yeah, I know they left last night from here, because I was over there on I-10 going to work, and they was it was like 20 of them leaving from up out of here. So I was like, okay, yeah, they getting ready, and I seen them over there in Jacksonville. Like, one neighborhood in Jacksonville got a whole backup generator. I said, the whole neighborhood?
because they paid for it through their homeowners insurance.
I pray for all of them. It's special, a lot of my family. I pray for y'all down there, families,
and all the frontline workers, the FPNL people, the light services, everybody who is on those front lines during this time that are putting their lives on the line to save other people. Thank y'all so much for y'all dedication, and service. We appreciate it, and especially to the ones who are gonna get down there to our family members. I need to. I'm gonna check in on my girls, people later on when I get off the podcast and make sure they're good as well. Cause I heard Key West got hit pretty badly. So, but thank y'all for tuning in today.
That what Southwest side got hit real bad.
So that's like Fort Myers area.
That's like Fort Myers, Naples, all that. The storm coming up through there and it's gonna curve over and go straight through Tampa. Like all of that. That I-4, that's where it's is that all of that.
That's where it's headed now because it done went through Tampa.
Yeah, so that I-4 is taking the I-4 straight on out. So
y'all just be safe.
I pray for y'all.
Be safe. And to the people who are gonna evacuate after the storm, travel safely. Cause it's a lot of people saying they're gonna evacuate because their houses are flooded, people are flooded. You know, areas of business are flooded. They're trying to get out because a lot of people in Tampa were in flood zones. So, Tampa, you know, it's a flood zone. A lot of areas in Tampa is a flood zone. They're surrounded by that water. So, y'all keep people lifted up. Check in on them. Check in on your people if they ain't answering. Keep checking. Send somebody to check on them. Just make sure everything good with y'all. Thank y'all for tuning in today. We appreciate y'all so much. And if you've done nothing today, while you tuned in, make sure you paid attention to how you can get rid of being that person who thinks they can save everybody's life, y'all. We appreciate y'all. We like y'all. We love y'all. And we will see y'all next Wednesday in October.